Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. It's another. Oh, thank you very much. Hey, Luke 18, verse number 1 says. Luke 18 verse 1 says, Jesus told a parable about a certain lady. In fact, verse number 1 says, men ought always to pray and to faint not. Another translation would say, men should pray always and not lose heart. You know, it is very easy for us to lose heart, especially when you've been praying for a very long time about certain things. It's very easy to lose heart. But the Lord Jesus says we ought to always pray and not to lose heart. He then begins to tell the story of a widow, of a certain widow in a city. And this widow had somebody that was against her, an adversary. So she goes to the judge and says, can you please avenge me of my enemy? And you know, the judge was a very pompous guy. He didn't care about people. He didn't respect anybody. And this judge basically then said, you know what? This woman is wearing me out. She's bothering me so much. She's an annoyance to me. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give her the justice that she wants so she can stop what? Bothering me. And so I think the key thing that we want to learn in this is the words of what Jesus said. These are Jesus' words when he said that. He says, listen to the what? Listen to what? The words of this unjust judge, because he found that it was very important that, you know, after he had said what he said and after the woman had sought for the help, he said, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. And then he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Father, we thank you this morning, Lord God, that you have called us to be a people that are prayerful. You have called us to be men and women of prayer, Lord God, men and women that do not abandon the place of prayer. And so, Father, we just come before you this day. And we learn, Lord God, from this unrighteous judge. We know, Lord God, that, Father, you will give justice to us. You will give justice to your people. But we will not abandon the place of prayer. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, in fact, the verses before, the Lord is talking about, there were certain expectations that he had about the people, but they were not following his expectations. And the Lord then says this, and this is what should bother all of us. He says in chapter 22, verse 30, he says that, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. And because he could not find anybody to stand in the gap, he said, then the destruction that I wanted to bring, I had to bring it. There is a requirement and there is an ask for you and me that we be those that stand in the gap, that we do not abandon the place of standing in the gap. Even if it tarries long, even if it takes a long time, we cannot abandon the place of prayer because there is a lot at stake. There is your family at stake, number one. Then there are the friends that you interact with. Then there's the people at your work. So if you can stand in the gap, let's be selfish. Stand in the gap, number one, for yourself, but stand in the gap for your family. Amen? That message from Pastor Chris last week, very powerful, on the return of the prodigals. Her challenge invites us to ask this question, like we said, who are the people on your list? And we don't want to be those that quickly skim over and say, well, that was last week's message. But we want to hone in because I sense that God is really saying something to you and I as individuals. that who are you going to stand in the gap for? And the question I have for all of us is that all of us have got, well, may, let me put it this way. We may have, the problem we may have is a price problem. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Are we willing to say until the Lord comes, until salvation comes? Are we going to be stubborn in our faith and say, Lord, not on my watch. I am going to intercede. If it costs me 2 hours of sleep, guess what I'm going to do? Am I willing to pay the price? And the people that you can pay the price for is your family. So we're going to be super selfish. I don't care about the whole world. I care about my family. But then we have to take it further about the people that God has put in your world. We cannot abandon the place of prayer. You know, in God's economy, you see, the funny thing, I want us to recognize this. God does not need you and I. If God wants to do something, if I can be honest, He does not need, but guess what He has done? He has subjected Himself to then say, you know what, I need men and women, I need boys and girls. And so He needs us. So in His economy, human responsibility matters. You see, Abraham intervened for Lot because this is what God said, should I hide from Abraham, from Abram, what I am going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? And the reason He said that is because I am going to make him a great nation. There is something that God wants to do with us. And then He says, because of what I want to do, shall I hide my plans? And then He tells him His plans. And then, guess what, I'm about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Lot, you see, and then Abraham thinking, oh, there's Lot. What about, and he begins to negotiate with the Lord, to intercede. Because he was just making sure that, ooh, just in case, my nephew would be saved. And you find that when the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah, they said, anybody that's within your household, he had daughters, but the only people that were saved were Lot, his wife, well, not the wife. Well, she had the potential to be saved, but then she was given a condition. And so she didn't follow the condition, and then she turned into a pillar of salt, all of that. The point I'm making is that God is so gracious to us that He would say, hey, I need you. I need you to intercede and to stand in the gap. Rahab, the destruction for Jericho was already set. The city is going to be destroyed. And luckily Rahab said, hey, we've heard what God has done for you guys, and we are all super scared. But guess what? Can you promise me this? That you will save my family. And guess what? She brought, and the guy said, anyone that is within your household will what? Be saved. If they're not in your household, tough luck. And guess what happened? She gathered everybody. And then when they came to destroy, in fact, they made an oath that we will not touch where they saw that scarlet rope. Her family was saved. Our prayers and actions have weight. As I thought about this message, I thought, ooh, today is probably the last Sunday of the first 6 months of the year. And my prayer for you, for all of us here, is that you are thriving. And I want to encourage you about the season ahead. Whether things are flourishing in your life or they are falling short of expectations. You know, in both cases, there are some spiritual practices that we must not abandon. It is tempting to do so when we face discouragement and say, oh, what's the point? And we begin to neglect these spiritual practices. And sometimes you see when things are going good, it's quite easy to say, well, I don't think I need the Lord that much. I want to offer you a timeless reminder from Moses. He says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fill in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. God is our source and our strength. And so we are called, C3 Fremantle, to be a people of prayer, a people that do not abandon prayer. There's a great work that God wants to do in your life, and it's really going to be anchored on your ability to service the Lord in prayer. There's things that God wants to do, there's territories that God wants you to take. But hey, those territories, no one is just giving up stuff. You come to my house, you want to rob it. If you have a gun, maybe I'll give you a chance. In fact, even if you don't, I'm going to fight. So now you can imagine in spiritual terms, you think the enemy is going to give up things? There's no way. We have to not abandon the place of prayer. This is the perfect moment to realign and remember who gives us power, and then to recommit to the practices that connected us to him, and that he will sustain you in the next 6 months of 2026. In Acts chapter 1, there was good things that were happening. It says, in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So things were going good, but then there was obviously some issues. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And then they went on and they appointed 7 guys. And it says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is what happens when we don't abandon the place of prayer. That what can seemingly be a problem, all of a sudden, if we remain rooted in prayer, rooted in the word of God, rooted, connected to the source, it says that there was a multiplication that took place, that things continue to move. But if we abandon that place of prayer, oh, God help us. You know, I'm going to focus on 2 scriptures this morning. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm just going to talk about some steps when we are facing things, just to help you in the next few months when you are faced with decisions. What do you do? And so I've entitled this message Inquiry, which is strange, but there's a bit of, hopefully you see why. I wonder, when life hits you, what do you turn to? Because whatever you turn to when life hits you, that's your God. Whatever you turn to when life hits you, that is your God. And sometimes it's quite easy, even for myself, I'll confess, I don't want to be super spiritual, that I can easily turn to self and control. So I try to be self-sufficient. But then you recognize that there is a limit to my sufficiency. And so whatever you turn to in times of trouble, in times of need, that is the person, that is the thing that you worship. So over the next 6 months, the inquiries we make. And so what I've called these are prayers of inquiry. After the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord. And they, you know, everything seemed all hope was lost. And they said, we got a problem. And they said, God, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand. That's Judges 1 verse 1 to 2. In 2 Samuel 21 verse 1 to 3, it says, now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. year after year. And David sought the face of the Lord. Some translation said, inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, there is blood guilt on Saul and on his house because he put the Gibeonites to death. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the people of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. Although the people of Israel had sworn to spare them, Saul had sought to strike them down in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah. And David said to the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and how shall I make atonement that you may bless the heritage of the Lord? When facing uncertainty, loss, or crisis, the Israelites turned to God. David turned to God. They didn't assume that they knew the answer. They inquired, they listened, and acted on what God revealed. This is the power of prayers of inquiry, because they position us to receive God's what? Wisdom, rather than relying on our own understanding. The Hebrew word in Judges chapter 1, inquired, is translated in Hebrew, sha'al, which is to seek, to request, to seek information, is to ask, sorry, to consult and to petition. When we pray, Lord, what do you want us to do next? We're doing more than posing a question. The emphasis lies in us seeking a response from somebody who has authority and knowledge. We're not asking for opinions. We're asking, we're consulting the one who sees what we cannot see, who knows what we don't know, and who has the right to direct our what? Steps. Asking God for direction before taking action. This is why you'll find that in Matthew somewhere, I think it's Matthew chapter 9, and the Lord saw the crowd, and he said he had great compassion for them. And then the Lord turns to the disciples and he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. He says, the harvest is surely plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, turn to the Lord of the harvest and pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send workers into his harvest. He could have said, you know what, just think about it, consult, strategize, and then go. But he told us to pray. Because he says, before you do anything, you need to get the direction from God of what to do. There are many things, people running businesses here in charge, responsible for families. Before you take action, pray and ask the Lord for direction. So this type of inquiry, this inquiry that the Israelites made, they remember that they were told that they'd been given this land. The land was theirs. But instead of just assuming, they went to God and said, what is it that you want us to, who shall go first? And then when the direction came, they went ahead. We need to ask God for direction before taking action, not after we've already decided. Not as a formality to justify what we've already chosen. I've decided to do this, Lord. What are your thoughts about that? Do your thoughts agree with mine? I've already made a decision. So we are seeking his wisdom, his counsel, and waiting to hear from him. King David is our greatest example of someone who inquired of the Lord. He inquired of him before nearly every major decision. Before battle, he was basically saying, you see, David was a military guy. He had strategy, he knew, he had nous, he knew what to do. But he just didn't go into battle. He would ask the Lord, should I chase after them? And the Lord would say, yes, chase after them. Should I do whatever it is? But God would always give him direction. This is the distinction why David succeeded where Saul failed. Saul's pattern was, I'll act first and then seek God later. And you know, I think there's a saying, you know, that I've heard a few people say is just do something and then deal with the consequences, or have to, whatever it is, like you go ahead and then you say, oh well, we'll sort it out. I'll spend the money and then deal with the consequences after I've spent the money, which is not yours to obviously spend. But I think there's this posture that you and I are supposed to have. And that is a posture that David had of constantly seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord first, act after His, afterwards. There were the, his, you know, this, his inquiries were not formalities, but they were the foundation of his decisions. One king, Saul, relied on his own judgment and consulted God to justify it. So before you make the next move, before you do something drastic, perhaps you should just inquire of the Lord. Before you want to take a major investment decision, before you want to take a significant business decision or a family decision, it would be wise to ask the Lord, hey Lord, because there's things that God sees that we cannot see. So we have to have that posture of dependency and that posture of inquiry to the Lord. David inquired before crisis, during crisis, and after victory. Just because God had given him victory in one instant did not mean that he was just going to use that formula again. Because what I'm trying to say is that just because God has said yes in one instance does not necessarily mean that for the next instance it's a yes. What it might mean is that you want to inquire of him, should I go? Should I stay? Should I attack? And at each time, God began to reveal to him. So it's very easy for you and I to be presumptuous and to think just because I got the green light for a similar thing last time is a green light now. Now I understand that we can learn from all those things, but I think it's actually better if you just check in with the Lord again and say, hey, Lord, is this a go or a stay? And the Lord is going to gratefully direct you. Inquiry precedes action. Don't make moves before the Lord has said anything. Inquiry expresses dependence. I'm dependent on the Lord. Past guidance does not eliminate present inquiry. Just because you got it the last time doesn't mean that this time it's the same. So there's this prayer, this inquiry, where you're saying, Sha'al, this is where you're seeking direction. What should I do? Where should I go? Who should lead? Should we proceed now? But there is another one. There is another inquiry that is different. This one is called, in the Hebrew, you know when in 2 Samuel, it says that David, there was a famine for 3 years and David sought the Lord. This one is about understanding. This inquiry is about, Lord, what is happening? What have we not seen? What is the root cause of what's happening in my life? Lord, can you reveal what is hidden? We know that the Lord revealed that, hey, the reason why you're going through this famine is because of the covenant that Joshua signed or made with the Gibeonites. That was in Joshua chapter 9. So he sees a famine, a drought, we call it a drought, eh? Year one, and he says, oh, you know what? The news comes on. Oh, this year farmers are experiencing a drought. This is the ABC News. They're experiencing a drought in Western Australia, farmers in the Midwest and all that. They're experiencing a drought. And this is due to climate change, El Nino. And oh, so, oh, you know, that makes sense. That's fine. Then the second year, farmers just want to announce farmers are experiencing another year of drought. And then you'll find plausible reasons. Oh, yeah, I think it's climate change again. Blame it on climate change. Year number three, we are experiencing a drought again. And this time David says, no, something is not right. There is a pattern here that I don't understand. And so now his inquiry is to seek understanding from the Lord. when you start to notice a similar pattern in your life, same things happening with you, with your family, there's certain things that are just happening. You now have, your inquiry is going to be different. It is not an inquiry for direction. It's an inquiry for understanding. Why is this happening? Because if you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, it had said that if you follow me and all my laws and all that, good things are going to happen to you, all these blessings. So I think there was a reason why they felt that, you know, things, good things should always happen. But there was a pattern. And so David, so when you, a pattern means it's a regular occurrence, not just once. So when you notice a pattern in your life, not one setback, not but recurring difficulty, you now have to seek the Lord to say, hey, Lord, what's really going on here? Because when David sought the Lord, they could not discern naturally. This problem, the famine was visible, but its covenantal cause was hidden until God disclosed it. So this is why we seek God, we inquire of the Lord when we find we've got regular problems, patterns in our life that are turning up. David sought God to understand the cause. Why is this taking place? And the Lord revealed. What I want to talk to you about as we finish is this thing about in Joshua chapter 9, when they were beginning to take possession of the land and the territory that God had given them, the enemies around them began to recognize that, wow, God is beginning to do, you know, they just, Jericho had just fallen. That was a big deal. So everybody else was scared. What is going to happen to us now? And so the Gibeonites concocted a plan and said, let us pretend that we're from far away and let us go to the Israelites and make a deal with them and say, can you please, you know, can we please be, you know, you support us and all of that. And so Joshua, they went ahead. So these men, they lied that we've come from a far off place, but they were their neighbors. And they made a deal. The biggest mistake that was made here is that this is the inquiry Joshua failed to make. They didn't go to inquire of the Lord. And what happened, you see, is that Israel entered a covenant that they should never have made. So failure to inquire produced generations of consequences. You have to understand that when this issue, when this famine started and the Gibeonites deal or covenant with Joshua, it was a period of approximately 400 years. And the funny thing is, you know what? God honors covenant. God honors His word. So you might be saved and you're wondering, why is this happening to me? Do you know what the Lord's Prayer says? Forgive us our sins as we what? As we forgive those who sin against us. Your ability to receive great freedom in your life is dependent on your ability to release people that have wronged you. So God is tied to covenant, and that was important. 400 years, and God honored covenant. And so I want to talk this morning and finish off with this issue of repeated patterns happening in your family life, happening in your own life. You've got bouts of anger. You get angry all the time. There's just certain things that resonate around you. You find that people in your family don't get married. You find that somehow we just don't get along. We were brothers and sisters. We used to share the same room. But then as you get older, there's just chaos. You find in your life that, you know, things go up for you and then they go down. I want us to pray this. When you notice the same struggle, the same obstacle, the same conflict or hardship recurring, you might pray this. To ask the Lord, Lord, can you tell me what is going on? What's going on in my life? What is causing this? And you know, the good thing about God is that He's faithful. You begin to inquire and say, Lord, what is it? You see, what David did, he just didn't assume. When he inquired of the Lord revealed and then he acted. Remember in Joshua, as they went to, when they went to destroy Jericho, the instruction was what? Destroy everything. But Achan decided to take 2.2 kgs of silver. As of yesterday, that was worth 5,000 Australian dollars. He took 0.55 kgs of gold. As of yesterday, that was $109,000 worth of Australian dollars, that gold. And guess what happened to him? The Israelites went to fight the battle at Ai. And they, in fact, he sent some spies. And the spies said, look, don't take the cream. Don't take everybody. Just take a few guys. We got this. And they went. And they lost. And then now, all of a sudden, Joshua begins to say, God, what's going on? And then the Lord said, well, you got some issues. Somebody did something they were not supposed to do. And then somehow they cast lots to find out who it was. And eventually it came to Achan. And Achan said, they said, so tell us, what have you done? And then he says, truly I have sinned against the Lord. And I have taken of the thing, the accursed thing that I was not supposed to take. And then they said, go and get it. So they sent some guys. They came back with 2.2 kgs of silver. They came back with 0.55 kgs of gold. And there was some, cloth. Let's just say it was Louis Vuitton or whatever it is, you know, Gucci, whatever, Levi's. But it was something significant that he thought, man, I need this. And I asked myself this question, wow. And it says they brought the children, the daughters, the sons, and they stoned them to death. What someone can do in your family, what it will do is it will tie up your family for a very long time. That there's things that people will do that will make it very difficult for you. And the only reason you're going to find out about that breakthrough is to seek what? Is to seek the Lord. These were saved people, the children of Israel. They were circumcised. They were saved people, but they had an issue. And that issue was because of what other people had done. The consequences they faced were because of some other people. So, you could have had an angry grandmother, grandfather. Somebody could have done a deal with the devil, made a trade to say, give me this, give me that, for whatever reason. But it has tied up your family, and you're starting to notice similar patterns. That things in your life seem to go well, and then all of a sudden they crash down to the ground. And you've noticed that pattern over and over again. May we stand this morning. I'll get the team back up, and we're going to sing song number 3. That the New Testament teaches us that through Christ, the record of death that stood against us has been cancelled, and Christ has obtained our eternal redemption, and that we are justified by faith. So sometimes when we pray about these persistent patterns in our life, we're not just going to assume hidden demonic covenants, but we're not going to assume that. Or that Christ's work is sufficient. Rather, we are following the example of King David by asking God whether there is something he wants to reveal that requires our response, such as repentance, forgiveness, restitution, reconciliation or a step of obedience. Some of you are going to have to think hard and make some phone calls. Some of you are going to have to forgive some people. Some that have stolen are going to have to put a restitution and you give it back. Hey, men ought always to pray and to faint not. If you see recurring patterns in your life, you have to bequesh the Lord. That's the Hebrew word for seek, for inquire. This type of inquiry that David made, why is this happening in my life all the time? But before we pray that, I just wanted this prayer of invitation, hey, that if you've never made a decision to say, Lord, that you have ransomed me, that I want to give my, I want to walk with you, I make that decision to walk with you. Today I'm just going to invite you to say this prayer after me of inviting Jesus into your life, to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross and to forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If that is you this morning that has made that decision for the first time to say, I want to give my life to the Lord, just raise your hand so that we can see and our team will talk to you. Thank you, Jesus. As we start to sing, there's this prayer. It says, Father, I come before you in humility. You know all things and nothing is hidden from you. I ask you to search my heart and reveal anything that you want me to see. If there's any unconfessed sin, wrong attitude, unhealthy pattern, or unresolved matter that requires repentance or obedience, bring it to the light. If there are broken relationships that need reconciliation, show me. If there are commitments or responsibilities I've neglected, reveal them. Give me wisdom to understand the true root of what I'm experiencing and give me courage to respond in obedience to whatever you show me. Lead me by your Holy Spirit into truth and let your will be accomplished in my life in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you this morning. We're going to worship and then I'm going to come and then pray and then we'll go. Probably another 5 minutes. But if you've noticed pattern in your life, we're going to pray to seek God for his direction. And then you can come to the front and our team will pray for you. All right, let's sing.